Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. For today's Tech Radio, we explore the problems with Zoom. We talk about what gear you might want to invest in for your home office, plus a gentle reminder to disinfect that gear. Our guest today, Amos Aesop, he's Chief Information Security Officer at Exigent Solutions in Sioux Falls. Hey, Amos, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me again.
Jeff Litterick is a network engineer with the Bureau of Information and Technology in Pierre. Hey, Jeff, welcome.
Hello.
In South Dakota Public Broadcasting's Kent Osborne is the usual host of this show, but we're deciding not to share microphones right now, so he's joining us on the phone as well. Hey, Kent.
From a safe distance.
From a safe distance. Let's start out with Zoom, and I want to start with you, Amos, because I just learned the word Zoom bombing fairly recently. Tell us a little bit about this platform that everybody kind of got pushed to. Why is it so attractive and necessary for such large groups? And then what are some of the problems that we really already knew about and now we're learning more?
Sure. So with the issues that have been going on in the country these days and the push to get everybody to work remotely or home, having the ability to see and talk to each other at the same time has been a real benefit. And so the teleconferencing industry has really boomed. And Zoom is one of the more popular platforms. It has an easy-to-use interface. It's something they actually were providing the service for a lot of people for free for a while. There are certainly other platforms, but Zoom is the one that has caught the most attention. And so people were picking this up, and the Zoom functionality was originally intended to be used in a corporate environment, somewhere where you're having business meetings, somewhere where things are very regulated and controlled as to who is attending and who can get into them. And when folks who were finding out that this was available to communicate even with their family or friends started getting in on this, the system started to expose some of its weaknesses, some of its holes, and even some of the problems that Zoom itself was having internally that that may not have been exposed previously. And so, of course, as more users start to use things, more vulnerabilities come out, more privacy issues come out, and more configuration issues come out. Yeah. And the word that you used was Zoom bombing. That became a big one because there was a lack of ability to control who could jump into a room if you had if you didn't have security tightened down, if you didn't have rooms locked, and people were jumping into rooms, taking over the mic, taking over the video, and putting things into meetings that were inappropriate or were vulgar, and it was, you know, they were doing it because, well, just because they can, really. And actually, if you go out to YouTube, people have posted these things. If you just type in Zoom bombing, you'll get an idea of what people were doing. But it exposed some issues with some security flaws where people were able to do things to other people's computers that they probably shouldn't. There were some privacy issues. Zoom had been sending information to Facebook in the background without people knowing, had been exposing some data that they probably shouldn't have been. And it just caused kind of a backlash, and that's what happens when you start to grow and you start to get the base that they have. You start to see all of these issues come out, and it's really caused some problems. So they've decided to put some features on hold for the next 90 days. Their goal is to not put any new features into the system, but to more focus on security and privacy construction or changes to the system, so that when people do use it, they can be assured that their information is going to places it shouldn't and that people aren't joining the meeting who should not be.
So, Amos, it's not time to run away from Zoom and find a different, because there were some challenges with that. Skype doesn't take as many people. For example, if you've got a big college seminar or something, you're not going to be able to do that on Skype. FaceTime is sort of inadequate. There's lots of options through Google platform. What should the end user do right now? Just keep using Zoom, have an awareness, and hold on for the ride? Or is there something else that you can do to improve your experience?
Well, if you're currently a Zoom user, it's really kind of up to you. We have not suggested everybody have a mass exodus of Zoom. One thing to be aware of is to follow. Zoom's doing a really good job of communication and letting people know what the issues are. And in some cases, there's workarounds, right? Making sure that the room is locked so that when people get in, people can't join the room if they're not supposed to be in that room, so you're not getting unknown users who are causing disruptions. They're actively working in the background to remove some of those privacy issues and some of the other issues that have been part of it. So just being aware of what the issues are and what you can do to work around them. You know, the alternative would be to abandon Zoom and go to another platform. The issue there becomes the difficulty in learning that platform, getting everybody switched over to it. And quite honestly, who knows what that platform's issues might be as well. So it's good that these things were exposed. It's good that we know about them because that means they can get fixed. But I don't think that it's a reason to abandon it altogether if it's something you've been using throughout your environment or throughout your company or even your family, because it's getting better.
Yeah, yeah. And there are lots of users right now sort of demanding that it gets better. Kent, go ahead.
Yeah, so a couple of things that you can do right now to make this better is, one, use passwords and share those securely. So you can sign in with two-factor authentication, and you can make everybody else do that as well. That's one good way. And the other way is to use waiting rooms. And you can basically make everybody queue up in a waiting room, and then you can only put the people into the chat, that into the discussion that you want to. So those are just a couple of quick tips for keeping people out of what you don't want them in.
Yeah. I know for me, I have learned very quickly that some of the tech things that I didn't pay very close attention to because I wasn't a heavy user of, all of a sudden have become very important in my life. And we're at our house, you know, slowing down and paying attention to how these things work for the first time in a really good and healthy way. We have a short segment for Tech Radio today, so I want to jump to a different topic. And Jeff Lederich, I want to start with you because you shared this COVID-19 community mobility report from Google. Tell us a little bit about what our devices are helping people understand about how we're handling sheltering in place and restrictions on our movement.
Yeah, Google, and this really pertains a lot to the United States because many other countries actually have mandatory apps now that you must install on your smartphones to track users' contact information. China's probably the biggest, where you must, if you're a citizen, you must have a smartphone and you must have this app, tracking app, installed so they can track everyone you met and talked to. But what Google did is, because they have all the anonymous GPS information from all the Android phones, is they put out yesterday a report in for many countries and also for all the states of the United States. And you can go to Google, find this, and go down and open a PDF that for your state, and you can actually see by county the impact. And what they do is they show from a baseline, the representative of how much activity in certain areas, like entertainment and restaurants, is down or up. Parks is down or up. Transient is down or up. So they're kind of showing how the virus is affecting people's movement around where they would normally go and stuff. Grocery stores, is it up or down? Are people at work or staying at home? And working from home and stuff like that. So it's a very kind of neat report. It actually does break many times down into the actual counties of the state. And it just kind of gives you an indication of the effect in your area that the virus is having and what people are doing about it.
What are some of the things, as you looked through this data, that you think is really interesting and jumps out? I'm scrolling through it now, and the surge in park usage is interesting for sure.
Yeah, but biggest down is retail and recreation is 35% down. That includes restaurants, entertainment stuff. And that's, you know, a humongous economic impact on businesses in South Dakota. Grocery and pharmacy is even down at 3% when I would actually kind of expect it to be up a little bit. But yeah, parks at 126%. Everyone seems to be out walking the dog or enjoying the outdoors and parks, maybe not yesterday, but recently. One interesting thing is workplace is down 25% in South Dakota.
Wow.
while residential is up 8%. So people are staying home and working from home quite a bit. Not as much as New York. I looked at New York's figures and they're all up at 60, 80% for a lot of this stuff. But, you know, people are staying home and working from home. People are, you know, kind of avoiding gathering for entertainment and stuff like that. Transient is down 31%. That includes public transport hubs, right? Buses, stuff like that in some of the major cities. So it is, we're having a definite impact in South Dakota. Different counties are having different levels of that, but it is kind of interesting to see. And then you go look at a state like New York where much of that stuff, I mean, parks are down like 70% or 67%. 47%, 62%, 32% for grocery is down in New York. So they're not, people are not even buying groceries at this point. Their workforce is down 50% about and up 16% for residential. So, you can kind of see the impact. And if they keep updating this report, we can kind of see over time, especially once they start releasing and we all start coming out of lockdowns and stuff like that, the effects is going to have long term.
Right. I'm a little surprised that workplace isn't down more than that.
I'm a little bit the bigger, the more hot spots are down where the states that have, you know, shelter at home and stuff. But even in those states, there's a lot of business open because of essential, right? You can't close the grocery stores. You can't stop the truck drivers. You can't stop manufacturing. 3M is manufacturing N95 masks like crazy in South Dakota and shipping them out direct by plane. So there are some fundamental businesses that do have to reopen. And farmers, for the most part, are pretty much can work still weather permitting because they're not, you know, gathering in big groups and stuff like a normal business would most of the time either.
Right. I want to talk a little bit, and we can go back and pick up any of these topics if we have a couple minutes at the end, but I want to make sure and start with you, Kent Osborne, because a lot of people are showing up on, you know, talk shows, you know, radio programs, TV programs, and you can tell they're working from their home offices with a lot of different gear, a lot of different lighting. I know my daughter was walking around. She used to do a theater production. She's in a play, and they did a quick scan of her house to see, you know, where she'd stand with, you know, what the lighting would look like. And the director said, well, if that's all the lighting you have in your house, that's what we'll work with. And we thought, are we supposed to have lighting in our house? And more people are finding out that maybe they should have different gear in their house than they had before to meet the need that we're living in now. And they're still shopping. I think you can get things still delivered, and Best Buy will walk your, you know, your gear to the car, for example. So, Kent, tell us a little bit. We'll start with you. What kind of stuff is worth investing in right now, and which is just, you know, gadgetry that you can skip? Where do you want to begin?
Well, it depends. I mean, if the lighting is important to you,
right?
You know,
who knew?
Usually we're looking for a positive impact on your mood. So a desk lamp or a floor lamp and shedding a little light on your workspace is normally what you want. If you're in a video conference and you got a theater director looking at you, you know, you might want to move towards a window or, you know, bring in some more lighting. But typically when you're talking about a home office, you're talking about making it more cozy and easier for your mood in a lot of cases. And so you keep things kind of on the down low as far as the lighting is. But again, if you need to look good on a video conference, that's a totally different thing. You know, find something bright and bring it near you.
Have you seen those ring lights? You know, I've seen a lot of ring lights advertised. I thought that was kind of an Instagram beauty tool, but maybe it's not. Maybe it's more valuable than that.
There are, with the advent of streaming and Twitch, there are a lot of specialty lights because it's amazing how much light you really need. If you've ever seen a streamer set up and stuff, they have lights in about every direction around them, and it's about 3-4 times brighter than you actually see on the video. But there's actually special now desktop streaming type lights that are reflective and stuff and are not that expensive. They're all like LED matrices and stuff. So if you do quick searches on that kind of stuff, a lighting for video streaming and stuff like that, there will be some options in there. And yes, they are bright, and it's amazing how much light you really need to get a good picture out for if you're a professional.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not usually shopping for that, but what I did need to adjust for my home office now that I'm working at home are a couple of the real basic things. One is my headset. You know, it's designed for gaming, so you can wear it 8 to 10 hours at a time, but you know, it's big and bulky, and it's not really going to work for me in a business type situation. So looking into more of a Bluetooth kind of light and air, you know, something that isn't heavy on your head, mm-hmm. That provides good sound quality for those conference calls and other things. That's the things I've been shopping for, are things that make my audio better and make me more comfortable. And my chair, I found out, I had a 16, 17 hour day the other day, and I found out my home chair is not built for that. I don't know if anybody's is. So you've got to start practicing some other habits as far as getting up and moving around. But, you know, the basics are really important. The desk, the chair, to some extent, the lighting. But you got to get the basics covered to get comfortable and be able to work in the long term.
Amos, any thoughts on what's worth investing in right now?
You know, the other thing is just to pay attention to your background too. You don't want something that's too totally distracting. And in some cases, depending on the program that you're using, and in fact, we were just talking about Zoom, they allow you to change the background dynamically. And if you've got if you want to go so far as to get a green screen or something that's just green behind you, that would help. But making sure that those sorts of things are decluttered, things that are simple in the background, things that just aren't distracting from you when you're doing the online video.
From a sound perspective, what kind of, you know, when you're in these video conferencing, are we all just using the microphones and the speakers that are in our computers, or is there a better way to be heard?
For that, I would seriously hope not. To be honest, for most meetings and video stuff, you should have a headset, especially for meetings and stuff, to cut down on distracting noise around you, especially if you have pets around. You even see that on the national TV of dogs barking or parrots in the background, and it kind of disrupts the whole flow of the meeting or conversation. I prefer a headset. You can get better microphones and stuff, but you really need to make sure you have a kind of quiet environment, because any echoes, depending on how your room is set up, background noises are going to come through if you're not using a headset, and sometimes very loudly for other people in the meeting.
Interesting. So. Kent, anything else you want to add? I like the chair idea. Pay attention to your chair.
I was about to say, you know, if you're a power user, you may consider juicing mm-hmm. your internet up a little bit. If your high-speed internet isn't quite high-speed enough, the other night I tried to move about a 60-gig file, and I had two Netflix users, a gamer, and somebody else yelling at me because I was, I basically ground my home network to a halt. So you may need to check into a bigger internet connection if you need that, if you're going to be doing this long-term. And you can always turn it down later, but consider if you're having connection issues and people are having hard times, your video and audio is scratchy and other things, you may need to go through your home network, make sure everything's tuned up, make sure your router's been, you know, updated and everything's in good working order, and then, you know, consider an upgrade if you need it.
All right, that's my project for this weekend, and Kent, I'm just going to call you and have you walk me through it.
Absolutely.
Because I'm still confused. We have to let you go for today, but thank you, Amos Asep, Jeff Litterick, and Kent Osborne. We really appreciate your time. We'll see you next time on Tech Radio. Be healthy and be well.
Stay safe.